Back in the 70s, someone wrote a book entitled The Battle for the Christian Mind. And I believe that this is probably one of the greatest battlefields that you and I face as a Christian. And we don't need to look around. We can just really come to grips with the fact ourselves that this is an area I would imagine that every single one of us wrestle with on a continual basis. I hope to help all of us through this series. It's starting out to be a series, as last week I fully intended. In fact, I had more notes last week in my sermon than I do this week. And when I got into the message, it just seemed like the Lord wouldn't let me make my explanations. And I guess maybe because He wanted me to take a little bit more time on each one of these points. And so I trust that this will really help us, this particular one tonight, as we deal with God's standards of thought and how we can have victory in our thought life. I believe that this lesson could very well mean the difference between success and failure and between defeat and victory for your life. And just to start off with, if you want to take your Bibles and turn to Acts 8, we will eventually get there. We're going to look at several passages of Scripture. There were so many ways that I could have gone in the lesson, so many branches that we could have followed. It's that way with the Word of God. It seems like you start on the trunk, and then when you start going on a topic, it just opens right up for you. And so I thought, where do you start? Where do you stop? And I hope to be able to alleviate some misunderstanding in regards to the thought life. Have you ever been sitting in a church service, and as the service has been going on and you've been involved in singing the songs of Zion, so to speak, and I mean songs like Victory in Jesus and There is a Fountain Filled with Blood Drawn from Emmanuel's Veins and Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine, I Know Whom I Have Believed and Am Persuaded, you know, and songs like that, and all of a sudden you get a vile thought come through your mind? Have you ever been reading the Scriptures, maybe in your devotional life, and you're sitting there reading and you're having a sweet time with the Lord, and all of a sudden something that just seems totally foreign to your thought process is right there? Have you ever been praying, and here you are praying and beseeching God for someone or maybe even some needs that you have in your life, and boy, you're just agonizing and you're praying and you're intense, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, it seems like you get broadsided with a thought that seems sinful, that seems so out of character, that seems so out of place. I would venture to say that in some of those scenarios that I've just mentioned, that's probably been your experience. And when we look at some thoughts on our thoughts, I want us to see that it's not sin to have a wrong thought. Now, this is critical, and stay with me if you would. Then we're going to get into the definition of what it means to think, to meditate, to muse. But many times I believe that Christians are coming home from work, Christians are pillowing their heads at night, and they're feeling like that they have been defeated and beat up all day long because they were in an intense battle. Just because you were in the battle for your mind does not mean that you sinned because of the fact that you were hit with some wrong thoughts. I think it's important for us to see that. The devil plants thoughts and desires in a person to influence us to sin. The flesh, also because of our very sin nature, we have a propensity to sin. Amen. So the devil is actively involved trying to get us to sin. In Acts chapter 5, Peter talks to Ananias and he says, "Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost?" Here's a saved man. Yes, who connived. Yes, he had a thought come in, and rather than use the techniques given in the Word of God for victory, he harbored those thoughts, he meditated on those thoughts, and he began to implement and follow those thoughts to its terrible end. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 16, that famous passage of Scripture, we're told to put on the whole armor of God that we can stand against the wiles or the tricks, the snares, the traps of the devil. But in verse 16, he says something real critical here. And he's not talking about an actual shield that you carry around. I don't see any one of us walking into church today with a shield. I don't see any one of you headed for work in the mornings carrying your shield with you. And we're not talking about a literal shield, but we are talking about a spiritual shield. And the Scripture says, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith he shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Not some, not most, but all the fiery darts of the wicked. Well, in our spiritual lives, when the devil is trying to hit us and trying to destroy our faith in a spiritual sense, he's not talking about, hey, at 40 yards, can he hit the bullseye? Hey, I can't get Mike here in the chest, so maybe I'll hit his arm today. He's not talking about that. He is trying to shoot those fiery darts, trying to get us to what? Drop our shield of faith, to open our minds to wrong thinking, to wrong thoughts, to sin, to wrong actions. Amen? But he says, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench, put it out. Just like you would a fire. You see a fire and you're getting ready. Yeah, after you've used it, you're getting ready to leave the place, and so you quench the fire. You throw some sand on it. You get some water and you pour on there. You quench the fire. And what that's telling us is that we have the resources available to us by the shield of faith found in the Word of God to be able to quench every single wicked, evil thought that the devil fires our way. We can be victorious. We don't have to sin. Now, we do sin. And as sure as I say that, then automatically we say, what's the use? And this is where we come to known sin, and we need to understand about known sin. And we'll get to that in just a moment. But folks, it is not a sin to have a wrong thought. But it's what you do with that that is so critical. Like, for example, if I'm there by the till at a store and the thought comes in, man, you could use an extra $50. There it is. My, looks good. You see, you say, well, that's a wrong thought. Yes, it is. But I take that thought and I kick that thought out and go on about my business. I did not sin. Okay? Now, that's important because what I'm afraid of is many Christians are coming home and they're saying, man, I just can't have victory because I had this thought and that thought and I didn't want to have it and I quoted Scripture and I sang songs and I thought about other things, but boy, I can't believe. I just seem to get bombarded time and time again. Folks, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We are definitely in a warfare. And that's what the Christian life is. We are in a constant battle, and the devil will try any way he can, and one of the most primary ways that he will use is our minds. Is our minds. Number two, the flesh is corrupt and must constantly be dealt with. We have got to come to grips as believers that we have weaknesses. We have got to come to the grips that we're not strong enough to handle sin. We've got to realize that we need God 24/7. Amen? And we find here in Acts chapter 8 where we have Simon who gets saved. He sees that the Holy Spirit is active and that the apostles here are working some miracles. And he says, I want that same kind of power. So here he is. He's saying, boy, I'd like to have that too. And in the midst of such spirituality, such carnality is also going on. And I want to pick up and read in verse 18. And when Simon saw that through laying on the apostles' hands the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. Peter said unto him, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God, if he perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. So we see here that the flesh is corrupt and must be constantly dealt with. Amen? Now, the sin is not in having the thought. The sin is in meditating or acting upon it. Okay? Right? So the Bible says this, look not on a woman to lust after her. It says, for if you look on a woman to lust after her, you have committed adultery with her already in your heart. Now, of course, I'm using this from a man's perspective, but yet you see, we're geared also with sight. And we notice things that are in order and things that are out of order. We see things that look good and we see things that look bad. And so consequently, because we're geared this way, the Scriptures are not saying that you just don't recognize and come to grips that there are people around that look handsome or look pretty. That is not sin to notice beauty. It's not sin to notice the beauty of an arrangement. It's not sin to notice the beauty that we have around us in God's creation. It's not sin to notice that, say, a man may be handsome or a woman may be pretty. But the Scripture qualifies that and says that you don't look on a woman to lust after her. And so it's so critical that when those thoughts come in, how you deal with them at that time. Otherwise, there's no hope. Otherwise, we're going to be living constant, defeated, discouraged, disheartened lives. There's no hope for us. Okay, so we've got to keep a proper perspective. And that's what I'm trying to do with these messages, is look at it in a proper light, because I'm talking to more and more people who seem confused in this area, especially this area of your thoughts and being victorious in your thought life. Number three, you must guard your mind. You must guard your mind. Now, let's look at what it means to think. To think means to act as a gatekeeper. It means to estimate. It means to meditate. In Genesis chapter 24, verse 63, it talks about Isaac going out into the field and meditating in the evening. I believe that one of the detriments we have in life today is we're so busy, we don't have time to think. You know, we get in our automobiles and we turn on the radio. Or we have the CD going. Or we have a preaching tape on. And we don't have time to think. Preaching tapes are great. Scripture tapes are good. But you know what? You yourself need to have time to meditate. To meditate. To think. Amen? So to act as a gatekeeper. It means to muse pensively. It means to think on, to think closely, to be deep in thought. Even so deep in thought that it seems like you don't recognize or even are aware of anything else that's going on. You know, sometimes you say, oh, what did you say? I was just daydreaming. Okay? And so when it talks about meditating, is we ought to be so consumed with the right thing that it seems like we're not distracted by anything else. Amen? Now, the Word of God is vital in victorious living. Now, I'm not just flippantly saying this, and I know you emphasize the Word so much, but it is vital. It's our very lifeblood. And if we're going to be victorious in our thought life, we have to make much of the Word of God. Joshua 1:8 says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. That means to muse. That means to think deeply on. That means you don't just let it come in one ear and out the other. You stop and think. You know, this could revolutionize the way you listen to a sermon. This could revolutionize the way you listen to a Sunday school lesson. Some listen so critically, trying to pick it and find fault, that they miss what God is trying to say. Why don't you take a pen and some paper, write down, say, God, show me what you have for me through that preacher, through that Sunday school teacher today. And then jot those things down. And then instead of going home and closing your Bible and forgetting it, why don't you sit back and then get your notes out and think about what you just heard. Meditate on what you just heard. Spend time thinking deeply. Because you know, as you prayed and you asked God to give you those thoughts, then that is His message to you from Him. Amen? And so He's trying to get something across. What is the import of His message? What's He trying to say? What's He meaning? Amen? The Word of God is critical. It says, "Thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and thou shalt have good success." Notice, it's not just thinking about something, but it's thinking with the intent that when God speaks, because you have your spiritual ears on, that you are going to do what He says to do. Amen? And so if you go without the intent of applying it, then it's not going to mean anything to you. And that's why so much of our devotional life is empty. It's meaningless. You know, when we first got saved, we just dove in the Word. And boy, everything was so rich and so new. And we said, wow, this is great. I've never heard this before. But then after year, you just say, okay, so what? It doesn't mean that much to me anymore. You went in when you got saved with an intent. Now you just go in to just salve your conscience. Big difference. You go looking, say, God, You show me something from Your Word today. You help me. You speak to me today. And it will change your devotional life. And that will give you something to meditate on, to think on throughout your day. Let's go to the book of Psalms, if you would, and I just want to travel through and talk about this matter of the Word of God and how critical it is. And I want to give some helps and how to meditate on the Scripture. Psalm 1. Of course, this is one of the most famous Psalms. These 6 verses, the first 3 deal with the righteous man. And, of course, the last 3 deal with the ungodly man. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law doth he meditate day and night. So here you have Joshua being told about that, Joshua 1:8. Here you have the psalmist writing about it. Our delight ought to be in the Word of God. And if you will, and you and I don't delight in the Word, then we ought to go before God and say, God, what is wrong with me? I'm not delighting in Your Word like I should. I ought to be wanting Your Word more than my necessary food, as the psalmist says elsewhere. Amen? But you know, when you delight in something, there's no drudgery. There's no duty. I mean, you look forward to dessert. Amen? I mean, you may work your way through the peas. You may work your way through this, that, and the other. But how, man alive. I mean, you're just ready for the dessert, amen? That strawberry pie? Wow. That chocolate cake? I mean, that's a delight. That ice cream? Bring it on. You see, you delight in that. Popcorn? Amen? Delight in the law of the Lord. Let's flip over to chapter 63 of the book of Psalms. Chapter 63. I want to take the time to do this. I think this is important. Psalm 63. And I want to read, beginning in verse 4. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches. You know, I would venture to say that most people who lose sleep, most people who wake up during the night, instead of thinking on the Lord, instead of meditating, thinking deeply upon Him and His goodness and His wonderful works, and so those things that are praiseworthy, what do? We worry. Boy, how am I going to pay this bill? What's the doctor going to say? Here we have a doctor's appointment maybe a month in advance, and we're losing sleep, anticipating, and then what happens? We go to the doctor, and the doctor says, everything's okay. And what does that say about the last few days and weeks and months of worrying about it? It was wasted time. When you could have just been meditating on the things of the Lord, realizing that even though you don't have it under control, He does. Even though you don't know what's going on, He does. And who is your trust in? Yourself? Definitely not in Him. Amen? And so that's why He says, when I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches. And I would encourage you, why don't you just determine now when the Lord wakes you up, that you just say, hey, the Lord's waking me up. I'm going to start praying. It's an amazing thing. People say, you know, I used to stay up and I used to worry and just lay there and toss and turn. And it seemed like I would lose all kinds of sleep. But then I started praying and I fall right back to sleep. Well, you know, I wonder if it's the devil trying to keep you awake. And then when you turn to the Lord sends that peace into your soul and gives you the sleep you need. For so He giveth His beloved sleep. Amen? I think this is important. I think it's critical. I think this could revolutionize your life. And you say, well, you know, my mind, it just seems like those are overpowering thoughts that come as I'm laying there upon my bed. All right, spend yourself some money, get yourself a cassette recorder, and then put the Bible on cassette. You say, well, I can't afford $35 for a New Testament set of tapes. Well, buy one and wear it out. And just pop it in there and listen to it. And just listen to it over and over and over again. It's an amazing thing. Some of you have no trouble sleeping when I preach. So maybe you could pop a preaching tape in and then you could sleep soundly through the night. Amen? You'd be thinking on the right kind of things, right? Amen. But do you get what I'm saying? Sometimes our focus is wrong. We're not thinking intently. We're not musing. We're not deep in thought. We're distracted. We're running helter-skelter with our thoughts. And the devil likes that confusion that goes on in our minds because it defeats us. It sets us up for a bigger temptation, a bigger thought to do evil to come and then waylay us all together. So be aware. Let's go to Psalm 77, if you would. Psalm 77, verse 12. I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of thy doings. I mean, have you ever just been thinking? Now, I would encourage you to do this. And folks, it's like you've heard me say so many times. When you first started driving the Standard, every movement you made was an effort. Putting the key in. Putting the foot down. Putting your foot on the gas. Revving right. Everything was an effort. Now, after years, you don't even think about it. You don't think key. You don't think left foot, right foot, coordination. You don't think it. You just go. You're driving down the road without even realizing it. Right? I'm not going there. Okay? Don't do this to me. But everything's an effort. When you begin to take back your thought life for the glory of God, you've been letting it run rampant for all these years. You've been letting the devil build strongholds and you're seeking to give your mind over to Christ. Then understand that no matter what area of life we're talking about, that it's going to be an effort. It's going to be work. You're going to seem like, boy, this is such work. This is such effort. I get tired. And that's why you need to spend more and more time in the Word. You've got to do it because that is our source of power. Remember what Jesus did when the woman touched the hem of His garment? And it says that virtue, goodness, power flowed out of Him into the woman. She was healed, but He was weakened. And what do we find Him doing just a little bit later? He's apart from everybody else. He's on His knees. He's praying, getting His battery recharged. And folks, when you feel like you're getting beat up, and the world is having its way and the devil's just firing dart after dart after dart after dart after dart, then you need to keep running back and running back and running back and getting recharged. Just like you do with your cell phone. You use it, the power leaves, you hook it back up to the charger. When you are out and about in the world as a Christian, there is goodness, there's power being expended, and you need to go back and get recharged. That's why God said in Hebrews chapter 10, provoke one another to love and to good works, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. And then it says, but so much the more as you see the day approaching, because in these last days we know that they're perilous days. And they're more wicked days. And so we need more strength. We need more power. Amen? And so we need to go to church more. We need to read more. We need to memorize more. We need to think on the good things more. Amen? Amen. Let's go to Psalm 119. And of course, we could read this entire psalm as it talks about the Word of God. But take heart. Brother Randy was wrong. Isn't that good? You say, yes, it is. He said, we're camping here all night. Psalm 119, verse 15, the Scripture says, I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. Now, understand this. He's not talking about just having a thought, quick devotional, the thought for the day. What's the key thought for the day at the end of a daily bread or a Baptist bread or whatever bread you eat from? He's talking about a meditation here. Remember, this is to think with purpose. Think intently. This is to muse. And when you think of that word muse, you think of almost sitting by the fire in the rocking chair on a nice cool fall or spring evening, and you're just taking it and you're thinking. Nothing's bothering you. You're just thinking. Got a lot of things on your mind. You're just thinking. Thinking. You're musing. You're deep in thought. Amen? We need to do that with the Word of God. I ask you, what was the last thought, godly thought that you had, that you thought on for a long period of time? You know, I am just big on keeping salvation before me. And I think much about, hey, I know my weaknesses, I wrestle with my besetting sins, I wrestle with the weights of life. I mean, we all do to some extent, amen? And so yet I keep thinking, boy, what a wonder that God would save me. And my, when the battle gets intense, I just say, Lord, thank you. I don't deserve anything, but you saved me. And boy, that just helps me keep my focus on Him. You may find that you need to think on maybe some other victory in your life that God has given you, and you can think about some of the wonderful things He's done for you in your life. Amen? Let's keep reading here. Verse 23 of Psalm 119. Princes also did sit and speak against me, but thy servant did meditate in thy statutes. Here is David saying, look, people were criticizing me. They were cutting me to ribbons. And instead of thinking about what the princes were doing, instead of thinking about all the things they were saying about me, I just meditated in thy statutes, in the Word of God. So how is David victorious? Stayed in the Word. Stayed hanging on to the words of God. I'm going to hang on to everything He says. I'm going to squeeze it for all it's worth. Instead of thinking about this and that and the other, I'm thinking about His Word. That was critical for David. Verse 48, it says, my hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments, which I have loved, and I will meditate in thy statutes. Verse 78 says, let the proud be ashamed, for they dealt perversely with me without a cause. But I will meditate in thy precepts. Oh, folks, as Christians, you're going to be taken advantage of. As Christians, you're going to have all manner of evil set against you. All they that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. You're going to go through intense battles. You're going to have all kinds of stuff said and maybe done to you. But here David said, look, they were proud and they dealt perversely with me. But yet rather than thinking about all the offenses and how everybody wronged me and said things about me and how that no one shook my hand or smiled at me or they gave me a dirty look or all that kind of stuff, what did he do? He said, I'm just going to think about God and His Word. So when you come to church next week and someone doesn't shake your hand that usually does and someone doesn't sit next to you in the right place or maybe they even take your seat, instead of getting all upset and saying, oh man, somebody hasn't spoken to me in 2 weeks now, why don't you just say, boy, it's sure good to be in God's house listening to God's music, sung and played the right way and hear the preached word. God's going to speak to my heart. God, feed me today. And go with that intense purpose to say, I am going to be a blessing to someone else and it's going to revolutionize your life. Instead of coming picking at everybody and noticing everything that's out of place and stuff like that, you're going to say, praise God. God's alive and well. Because you're thinking right. You're thinking on the statutes. You're looking with intent saying, I want to see God here. You want to see God here? Did you come tonight saying, boy, I need the midweek service. I've got to admit to you, I'm the preacher here, I know. But sometimes I don't feel like being here on a Wednesday night. Do you? Right? Don't you sometimes have it? Hasn't it ever been across your mind saying, well, I wish it wasn't Wednesday? Ooh. Right? Have you ever thought, oh, man, we got to get ready and go. It sure be nice to work out in the yard tonight. Right? That grass is getting mighty long. Boy, I just like to sit here and take, boy, this couch feels so good. Amen. That's why I've got one up in my office. You know, you say, well, you know, we don't always feel like coming and being here, but I tell you what, by the time we're through, I'm glad we had church. I'm glad I made the effort. I'm glad we put some things aside, maybe even some good things, for the more important thing and how it just helps me. And you know, I've told Brenda several times, I don't know how people make it from one Sunday morning service to another Sunday morning service. I need Sunday school and Sunday morning and Sunday night, Wednesday night. And when we have special meetings, I need them too. And I'm not just saying there because I'm trying to build a crowd. I'm serious about this thing. And I think the psalmist had really things in control at this point when he's saying, look, all this bad stuff is happening around me. But when I meditate on the statutes of the Lord, everything's all right. Everything's all right. That's the difference between victory and defeat, success and failure. Thinking right. Let's look at Psalm 119, verse 148. Excuse me. It says, mine eyes prevent the night watches, that I might meditate in thy word. Have you ever just said, look, I'm not going to go to sleep for a while. I'm just going to turn the lights out. Maybe go downstairs or whatever, how it's ever set up in your house. And you look out that picture window and the moon's so bright, everything's lit up almost like it's daytime. And you just think about what God's doing. Or maybe you just say, God, I do have some problems. I do have some heartaches in my, there are some things I'm wrestling with. And God, I need your help. I need your direction. And I need to think this thing through and I need your wisdom. If any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth all men liberally. You ever come to that point where you say, I don't know what to do? I've been there, folks. I am there. And I say, I don't know what to do. I don't know what more to do. God, I need your wisdom. And as I think and meditate, it's amazing how one by one we just take care of those thoughts that the devil and the old flesh seems to be sending that way. How your mind gets all cluttered and you just need time to weed it all out. And it happens. It happens as you meditate on the Word of God. Amen? Look at Psalm 143. Psalm 143. He says in verse 4, therefore is my heart overwhelmed within me. My heart within me is desolate. I remember the days of old. I meditate on all thy works. I muse on the work of thy hands. I stretch forth my hands unto thee. My soul thirsteth after thee as a thirsty land. And you know when the ground is thirsty, you've seen it. There's been cracks in the ground, and there comes that rain, and it seems like it just gets soaked up. The cracks close up a bit, but yet, hey, there's still room for more. Amen? There's still room for more. And that's the way our hearts and our lives ought to be. We ought to go after God as water to a thirsty piece of ground. Just soaking it in, soaking it in, soaking it in, soaking it in. And that's what the psalmist is saying here. He says, look, my soul was desolate. And that's where we find ourselves sometimes. Sometimes we are beat up. Sometimes we are having problems. Sometimes our hearts are breaking. Sometimes it seems like there's nothing going right. And that's when we need to meditate all the more. Not the less. Not give up. Not run to some book or some tape. Run to God. Let's go to 1 Timothy. Well, like I said, there was so many directions for me to take. 1 Timothy chapter 4. And here it tells the man of God to think on some things. And I just want to run through these and get to another passage here directly. But in 1 Timothy chapter 4, I want to begin reading in verse 11. Paul writes to Timothy, he says, these things command and teach. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Now, even though you may not be a preacher tonight, and so some of this may not be directly applicable to you, that does not mean that you just set it aside, ignore it, it doesn't have any help for you. You can look at this and you can derive help as well from the same passage. In other words, it says, let no man despise thy youth. Timothy was a young preacher. And young people, teenagers, you can live godly. You can be victorious. You can do everything that Paul is admonishing Timothy to do here as far as being a good example. Amen? You don't have to wait till you... I remember when I was in youth group, I said, boy, I can't wait to serve God when I get out of youth group. Boy, then I can really do something. No, I needed to do something right then and there. Amen? And young people, I know that you must wrestle in your thought life as well, but you can do right. Let no man despise thy youth. Amen? You can be holy. And then it says that we're to be an example in word, in our manner of life, that's conversation, in our charity, the things we do, our acts of benevolence, our attitude, in our spirit. We can have the right kind of attitude. We can be an example in all of these areas. But you know what? We have to give ourselves to it. It says, in faith, in purity, and notice where it says here, till I come, give attendance to reading. And it also lists a couple other things, to exhortation, to doctrine. But notice, give attendance to. That means make much of it. That means highlight it. That means make it a priority. What's he saying? Hey, preacher, you going to make it? You've got to give attendance to the Word of God. Christian, are you going to make it? You've got to give attendance to the Word of God. If you want to be the testimony for your family and for your coworkers and for your world, you must give attendance to reading. You must give attendance to exhortation. That is encouragement. Amen. And then notice what it says here, and doctrine. Doctrine is important. It's important to believe right. And so the only way to believe right is to get in and find out what is right. And you do that by the Word of God. Amen? So give attendance to these things. And notice he says, also neglect not the gift that is in thee. When you trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, God imparted a gift to you, and He wants you to be active and useful in His service. You're needed. And it says, give attendance to these things. And just as Timothy was called to preach, he said, look, you're going to have to, in another portion, 2 Timothy said, stir up the gift. You need to stir things up. Amen? And notice it says here, give yourself wholly. It says in verse 15, meditate upon these things. See, Paul knew. Here's an old preacher. He's been down the road. He's wrestled with the same issue. Some people say, boy, how is it that he or she always seems to know what I'm wrestling with? I mean, how did he know that? How did she know that? How did they know that I had that same problem that he preached on? Because we've been there. It's not one person. Paul's not saying,
let me tell you something. I've got all victory here. And Timothy, you need to do these things now because you could be like me.
No, he's not saying that. He's saying, look, I know because I've been through this, and if you're going to live successfully, if you're going to be the kind of preacher, and if you're going to have an effective ministry that you see that I've had in my life, then what you need to do is you need to meditate on these things. That means give yourself wholly to them. That means to muse. That means to think deeply upon. That means to think on in such a way that everything else is not even distracting your attention. Isn't that something? Amen. Give yourself wholly to Him. And then it says, take heed. Be careful. Be careful for yourself. And it says in verse 16, but take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Interesting, isn't it? You always have to be careful of the doctrine because prone to wander. Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. And so we keep coming back to the doctrine, to the teaching of the Word of God. Amen? That body of truth, that faith. Where is the body of truth? Genesis to Revelation and no apocrypha in between. Amen? Amen. Now let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. I touched on this in Sunday school, but I think there's no way to really handle the thought life without really dealing a little bit closer with this passage of Scripture. Taking every thought captive is critical in a life of victory. In verse 3 it says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Folks, understand that as a believer. Stop and think about it. You know, it might do good for you to just go home and maybe spend, you know, maybe you want to spend several days in your devotions just taking a passage of Scripture like this and reading it, read these block of verses, and then just think about it. Just think intently. And then maybe jot down some notes on what God's saying in these verses. We walk in the flesh. And many times, because we walk in the flesh and we're tempted in the flesh, we automatically think that victory must come through fleshly means. And so God here says, we don't war after the flesh, though. Even though everything may be geared to our senses, and even though our initial response being that we're housed, encased in flesh, when someone does us wrong, we want to do them wrong back. If they speak evil of us, we want to speak evil of them. If they pop us, we want to pop them. Or maybe if they speak evil of us, we want to pop them. You know? We want a war after the flesh. But God says, no, 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 no. Our battle's not that way. In other words, you're not going to be victorious, dear Christian, because you get busier doing good things. And I think that's one thing that we have grabbed hold of in a lot of Christian circles and in our North American mentality is we have substituted our walk with God for doing a bunch of things. Good things, right things. And I'm not saying that you ought to resign this, that, and the other and quit serving God. God forbid that you would do that. But at the same time, the number one priority is your relationship with God. And you see, when you have the proper relationship with God, then the doing is going to be effective, the victory will be there, and you won't be frustrated, you won't be anxious, you won't be worn out. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Have you ever run? I'm not going to ask you if you've ever flown. But have you ever, you'll run and not be weary? I mean, I've done some running a long time ago. I've done some running, and in the course of running, boy, it feels so good to stop. Right? You go out and take that walk, that 2 mile walk. You come back and you sit down and say, man, this feels good. Where's the cheese chips? I mean, you get tired, right? But here in our spiritual life, it says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Folks, your walk with God is critical. What you do with this message will make the determination whether you're victorious in your thought life or not. Think on these things. Meditate on. You know, we think the word think means, well, I just had that thought, so I thought on the Word of God. Or I just read and I understood what I read, and so, boy, I just thought on. No, thinking scripturally is much more intense and purposeful than just letting a passing thought about God come in and leave. Come in and get filed back there in the back somewhere. No, it's you are going to muse on Him. You're going to think on Him. You're going to spend time thinking about the goodness of God or whatever He's trying to show you from His Word. Just meditating on that. Amen? Notice what it says here. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4 now. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. See, the context there is we're warring many times after the flesh. And Paul's saying to this carnal church, says, look, our weapons for this warfare are not carnal. They're not fleshly. He says, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Notice, we've got weapons. We've got the resources to be victorious. And he says, these are mighty weapons through God. Amen? These are mighty weapons. And pulling down strongholds. You know what I think of when I think of pulling down a stronghold? I think of a big iron gate that keeps you from going in and taking this city. And I think of taking a chain and wrapping it around that thing and getting a big old tractor or something and then just yanking that thing and carrying that gate off. Pulling down out of stronghold. Tearing it down. We had an old barn at our place, and I just think about, boy, how you just took one end of that barn and that whole thing went, pulling down a stronghold. And that's what it's talking about. Some of you have wrestled with sin for years. Some of you have not been able to keep your minds in check. You've just let the thoughts run rampant and take control, and you have obsessive, compulsive thoughts, and you're wondering if there's any hope. Here it is. These weapons of our warfare are mighty through God to the pulling down of those strongholds. You don't have to have those obsessive thoughts. You can be victorious. Amen. And we have a lot of folks inundated with obsessive compulsive disorders that many times it's simply a matter of getting spiritual victory in the mind. In the mind. And instead, we do it with pills. Oh, after the flesh. We do it with other things, other methodologies. Folks, you can't get away from doing it God's way. God's way is the best way. Amen? It says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations. Have you ever stayed awake at night imagining things? I mean, this may happen. And if this happens, this is going to happen. And if this happens, this is going to happen. And boy, you know, hey, you know, so-and-so looked at me this way. I wonder what they were thinking. I bet you they were thinking this. And you know why they were thinking that? Because of this over here. Why do we have such squabbling in churches? That right there, evil surmisings. all kinds of evils because we're not thinking right. We're just not thinking right. Man, we're building stories. We've got problems solved. You know, sometimes it's a joke. You know, see a couple of people, talking, and you walk up and say, "Well, have you solved the problems of the world?" You ever say that to anybody? Sure you have. Don't look at me like that. And you know, a lot of times you're just building these mountains, casting down. You know what that word cast? I gave the illustration, but boy, you just throw it. Cast. I was talking about the devil on Sunday. You just cast. This is casting. I mean, you just cast. Cast. Casting down imagination. When that thought comes, I know why she's singing. She just wants everybody to see her. Oh, I know why he teaches. Oh, I know why he hangs around the preacher. He's trying to get in good with him. Like dandruff, you know. Hey, you know what? You need to put that down. You need to cast that thought down. Amen. Don't let the devil fill your heart. Don't let him lead you down that garden path. And we do that a lot. Man, I could save myself a whole lot of grief. Right here, if I'd pay attention. I know why he's looking at me that way. Shh. I'm hitting him right between the eyes. And for all I know, he just had something bad for supper. You know what I'm saying? But that's how we are. We just don't think right. And it says, cast down those imaginations. Quit making mountains out of molehills, so to speak. Then look what it says. It says, cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bring it into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. In other words, when it says cast down, we're cast down what? Evil thoughts? The wrong thoughts? Or even the wrong type of reasonings? You know, some things seem so rational, so reasonable, but they're not scriptural. And we need to cast it down. Don't think about it. When you come, it says there, take every thought captive. You take it, you arrest that thought. You run to the Word of God with that thought. And see, this is why it's so important to know the Word of God and have it dwelling in you richly in all abundance, where it's just flowing out of you. Because you see, if you have a thought, since we're so intense, we can't take every thought and say, okay, now, I know it's in here somewhere. What am I supposed to do now with this thought that I've got? Boy, where is this? Maybe I'll go see the preacher. Oh, he can't see me for 2 weeks. My, he's on holidays. Well, you know, I went and saw him and look what happened. He didn't know either. And what are we doing? We're missing it. But you see, if we're in the Word and we're relying on Him and we're meditating on these things, we know that anything that comes our way, we can bear it. Amen? He's not going to let anything come our way that we can't handle. Boy, what a promise that is. Amen? And so we say, okay, if we know the Word, when the thought comes, right away, the Holy Spirit, who's working in us, He goes, bang, wrong thought. And then what do? Cast it out. You don't sit there and say, well, Holy Spirit, that seems pretty reasonable to me. Look at so-and-so over there. They're doing that. Why can't I do it? They seem to be happy. Hey, if you arrest it, you take that thought captive to the obedience of Christ, and it doesn't go according to the Word, there's the obedience in Christ. Get rid of it. Don't think about it anymore. Just set it aside. No, don't set it aside. Cast it aside. Amen? It says, cast it, casting down imaginations and every high thing. And notice that it exalted itself against the knowledge of God. Hey, it tells us in Corinthians that we have the mind of Christ. It's the Word of God. Amen? You want to know His mind on the matter? Go to the Word. It's right there. We try to find it in all kinds of places and people and reasonings of other men and interpretations of other men. God has said what He means. He's given us His mind. Amen? He says, bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. One last verse of Scripture, and we're gone. Philippians chapter 4. You knew I'd probably end up here, And yes, we are. Philippians chapter 4. I've said this before. Someone gave me a book by Warren Wiersbe years ago on the joyful Christian mind. I think it was just right after I got saved. And it was on the book of Philippians. And I got in there and he said that the book of Philippians was the psychology book of the Bible. It tells you how to have the joyful Christian mind. And so he said, if you really want to be victorious in life, spend time in the book of Philippians. And so as a teenager, 15 years of age, I got into the book of Philippians and I just read it and read it. And so if there's a time when I'm down, it may not mean the same to you, but I run to Philippians and run to Philippians and run to Philippians. And it just reminds me and keeps me in perspective with Him. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Folks, I've gone through some situations in my life, and you probably have too, where you say, rejoice? Lord, that's not reasonable. I need to take that thought captive. Ooh, this goes against every fiber of your being. And you need to say, okay, I take this thought captive. God says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Even your emotions seem to dictate otherwise, right? Am I saying something wrong here? You know I'm not. Yes, it doesn't mean that your emotions are in neutral and somehow you're psyching yourself up like, smile, smile, smile. I'm going to be happy today, happy today, happy today. We're not talking about that. Paul said, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. He could have that peace that passeth all understanding that rules his mind and his heart through Christ Jesus. Even though he was shipwrecked, even though his back was beaten and laid open and bloody, even though he was in stocks, even though he was in prison, even though he was in famines, even though he was in persecutions. And yet he can say, rejoice in the Lord always. In the midnight hour, singing praises to God. Amen? He says this, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true. 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 In other words, you know it to be so. Well, I have it on good authority. Whatsoever things are true. Whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. And that word think means to muse, to think deeply, to meditate upon. Now what does it mean? It doesn't mean that, hey, man, that sump pump went out. I felt like taking that thing and tossing it out of the basement. That's where we live sometimes, amen? Not the basement. I'm talking about bad things happening to us. Right? Sometimes, yeah, we live in the basement. Okay. All right, I get you. All right? So, hey, that's where we live. It doesn't mean that you don't ever deal with negativity. Oh, that's negative. I'm not going to think on that. Oh, I can't handle that problem. Oh, no, we're just going to handle good things. You may have to handle the bad things. You will have to handle the bad things. But yet, when you are meditating, when you are thinking intently on, you're not thinking about the bad things. You're thinking about the good things. See, that's the key thing. Yes, deal with the problems. Deal with them. But yet, once they're dealt with, think on Him. Think on this verse. Amen? Let's all stand with our heads bowed, our eyes closed, please. Appreciate your attention. So many other verses we could have gone to tonight, but I trust that this would be a help. God has a standard for your thought life. Quit beating yourself up. Claim the victory that's in Him. Institute these truths that you heard tonight into your life where you can think on the right kind of things. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things.